The Word of God says of the making of books, there is no end. How true. They're being put out daily, you might say innumerably. The story is told of a well-known English nobleman by the name of Sir Walter Raleigh, who had not only a big house, but also a big library. And he had a servant. And one day, he turned to his servant and he said, "Get me the book." And the servant looked at him. He said, "You have a lot of books. Which book?" He said, "There's only one book. That's the Bible." How true. Of the myriads of books that are being printed, there's only one book, the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, we read about that book. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." If you had a choice of one word to be put on your cemetery stone, failure or success, which word would you choose? I'm sure we'd all choose success. Who wants to be a failure? It's bad enough to be a failure in life, but then to have it put on your tombstone to remind everyone of that miserable life of being a failure, what a tragedy. We all want to be a success. There are many books written as to how to do this and that and the other thing. And many have been written as to how to become a success in various areas of life. But there's only one book that tells us how to be or how to have good success. There's a difference between success and good success. There's a lot of success that brings misery. Think of how many miserable rich people there are in the world. They're a success financially, but their financial success brings problems and troubles and temptations and failures in various areas of their life. But here we read about a book that will bring good success. Good in every area of success that you can think about. And here we read about it in Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So here we have the book, above all other books, that promises us good success. Now notice what God says about how that book will bring good success in your life. First of all, "It shall not depart out of thy mouth." I notice that James Moffat, in his translation of that verse, puts it this way: "Thou shalt never cease to have it thou shalt never cease to have it on thy lips. So the word of God should always be on your lips. Just think of how our lives would change and how our lives would affect others more and more if that were true of us, if the word of God were continually on our lips. What a wonderful witness we would be if that were true. And one way that can become true in your life is to memorize it. As a prophet could say, thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hide God's word in your heart. And the best way to hide it is memorize it. Have you ever really made an effort to memorize portions of the Word of God? Try it. You'll find that it'll bring real blessing in your life. It'll affect your thinking. It'll affect your motives, your goals. It'll affect your prayer life. It'll affect your public life. To hide God's word in your heart. And the word of God says that we should meditate upon it day and night. Yes, it's a good thing to start memorizing the word of God. Many years ago I did that. And I had little cards that I wrote verses on. And I kept those cards in my pocket. And I memorized those verses. And then I decided to choose a whole chapter. And memorized various chapters in the Word of God. It'll have a real effect upon your thinking, upon your living, upon your prayer life, your testimony life, to hide God's word in your heart. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, to meditate means to give it deep thinking, not just a casual thought now and then, but deep thinking. And then it means like a cow who chews the grass, but then it brings it up in a cud and it ruminates that cud. And because of that action of ruminating, bringing it up, it turns it into milk. And think of what a blessing that is to all of us. How many like milk? I love it. I could drink it by the quart. How many like ice cream? And of course, butter and cheese. It's all because of what the cow does. Chews it and then ruminates on it. Brings it up. And that takes time. Jeremiah says, thy words have I hid in my heart. And then bring it up over and over again to bring out the good and the blessing for yourself and for others. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, we read about Mary, that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. It doesn't say that she stood at Jesus' feet. She sat. Just suppose someone comes to your home, a friend, and you like to have them come And you open the door and they come in and they keep standing by the door. What does that indicate? They don't want to stay long. They're just making a quick visit and they want to be on their way again. But if they're willing to come in and sit down, that speaks of fellowship. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And it takes time, doesn't it, to sit. Are you willing to take time to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words? That's a very interesting position, sitting at his feet. That speaks of humility. Yet you're willing to take a low, humble place at the feet of Jesus. That speaks of taking a position of need, that you need him. Sometimes we sing that hymn, "I need thee every hour." How true. We could rightly sing, "I need thee every second," because we do. Yes, it takes time to sit at Jesus' feet. And just like, as I said, a cow, it chews the grass and then it ruminates it. Brings it up. Gets the best out of it. And the result is milk. And then cheese and all the other things, ice cream that comes from milk. And certainly we must sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. As we read here in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night." In other words, all the time. Not just every once in a while. But the Word of God should have a part in our constant thinking. It should control our thinking and control the decisions of our life. Now, meditation will lead you to really get to love the Word of God. It's one thing to feel an obligation to read the Word of God. Well, I've read my portion for the day. Or with some people, my verse for the day. And that's it. But to meditate means that you love the Word of God. You want to give it time and thought to control your thinking, to have a good understanding of the Word of God that will bring sweetness and joy and happiness into your life. Now there's more to God's formula for good success than just the mouth and the meditation. But there's also the movement to it. In other words, to put feet to your thinking as to carrying out the will of God and to live for him and to walk with him. We read in Joshua 1:8 that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. So there must be the doing, not only the meditating, but the doing, the carrying out of God's will for your life. And that calls for 2 feet. So often we think of the yardstick. That's 3 feet. But here's a better yardstick for living. 2 feet. To walk according to it. To do it. So God instructs Joshua how he could have good success by reading it, meditating on it, and then he would be strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Strong because of God's promises. So it's not just throwing out like an empty encouragement. Be strong. Be courageous. But God gave him a foundation for it. The Word of God. Be strong and have courage. Why? Because of God's promises. And because God is faithful to keep those promises. His mercies are new every morning, the Word of God says. Great is thy faithfulness. How wonderful to realize and to rest on that wonderful fact that God is faithful. So often we are unfaithful. Friends and relatives are unfaithful in fulfilling their promises and their expectations. But God will never fail. He is faithful. You can rest on that. So be strong and take courage as to this wonderful fact of the faithfulness of God. Now, not only did God encourage Joshua to be courageous and of a strong courage, but the 2.5 tribes, they chimed in with the same message to have courage as Joshua was about to lead them into the promised land to take over what God had promised to his people. Be strong. God wants us to be strong. Every once in a while I've heard a Christian say, when they were asked, how are you coming along? Well, I'm going on in my own weak way. Have you ever heard that? I'm going on in my own weak way. God doesn't want you to go on in your own weak way. He wants you to go on in strength. Be strong in the power of his might. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 we read, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now there's something to lay hold of. That God has a strength for you. And he has a power for you to go on in that way for him. Not to depend upon yourself. Not to depend upon others. Now, it's good to have others as a good example, but that's not enough. If you're going to really live for God, your eye must be on the Lord himself, not on others. No matter who they are, they may fail. They may let you down. But God will never let you down. And he will never fail. He remaineth faithful. Keep your eye on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So Joshua was encouraged to be strong. and to have a good courage. Often we kind of lose our courage, and we're downhearted. Well, that'll happen if we keep our eyes on others or on ourselves, but not so when our eyes upon Him, because God is faithful. And then God told Joshua, let's go back again to chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thy way speaks of action, of going on, of going forward for God. It doesn't say, and then you'll have a nice, restful time in that rocking chair. No. Get on the move. Get on the way for God. And you'll find that God will be with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. He'll enable you to make your way prosperous. And then thou shalt have not only success, but good success. There have been many successes in life that have been like failures, or even worse than a failure, because the success led that person, because of the success, to go the wrong way, into the lusts of life and so on. But good success only comes from God. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a wonderful promise. No matter where you go, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? No matter wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. I remember for 10 years I worked with the New York Bible Society doing intermissionary work in New York City in the Spanish area, Spanish Harlem, which is not the safest place in the city. And part of my work was going door to door, knocking on those doors, giving out portions of the Word of God free, like a Gospel of John, and speaking to the people about the Lord. And often, in going into those tenement houses, the hallways would be dark. And sometimes they were dark because someone had taken the bulbs out for a good purpose for them, to rob people. And at that time, the captain of the New York Police Department up there in Spanish Harlem was a Christian. Great big 6'4" Christian. And as I went into those dark hallways, I often thought, my, it'd be nice if I had that Christian brother with me. But then I realized that I had someone stronger than Captain Jensen. I had the Lord with all power and all might. And His promise is, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Keep that in mind. When you have Christ, you have His promise of His presence with you. His might, His protection, His promise, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. So God says to Joshua, be strong, be of a good courage, and be active. The Lord says, wherever thy foot taketh you, I'll be with you. Be on the move for God. Then too, here in Joshua, that there's more to God's formula of good success. Yes, there's the movement. There's the meditation. But there's also the witnessing, using your mouth for God. I wonder if we use our mouth much for God in witnessing to others about Him. It calls for courage, doesn't it? To say a word for Christ. I often look back to about 60 years ago, one Sunday night in Buffalo, New York. I had nothing to do. I was 16. And I had no money. And as I look back, I'm thankful that I had no money. Because if I had, I would have been at the movies. I love the movies. But I didn't have any money. So I took a walk. And as I walked down Main Street, I walked past this large tabernacle, evangelical, non-denominational tabernacle. And I heard the singing coming through the closed doors. And I remembered a Christian aunt of mine had taken me there for a New Year's Eve special service. And so I decided to go in. The place was full. There must have been about 1,000 people there. And there was an empty seat way in the back row, right there by the aisle. And I was ushered to that spot. Yes, the Lord had me in mind in giving me that spot. And I sat next to a little old lady. And after the message was given, there was an invitation. If anyone wanted to receive Christ as their Savior, to come forward. And someone would deal with you and pray with you so that you might receive the Lord as your Savior. And that little old lady turned and she said, young man, wouldn't you like to be saved? That's all she said. Wouldn't you like to be saved? I've never forgotten that. I don't remember one thing the preacher said that night. I'm sure it must have been a good message and a long one. But I've never forgotten what she said, that question. Young man, wouldn't you like to be saved? And that's what God used to speak to my heart. It seemed like all of a sudden it all came together. It all gelled about this matter of being saved. All of a sudden I realized I was lost. That I needed Christ. And that Christ died for me, the sinner. And I got up. And I walked those 10 miles to the front. And I received the Lord as my Savior. I've never forgotten that little old lady, young man, wouldn't you like to be saved? Isn't it wonderful that God can use us even with a few words to point or lead someone else to Christ? I wonder, have you ever had that blessing? It's like the blessing of being saved yourself. to have a part in leading someone else to the Lord Jesus. The Word of God says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Oh, the wisdom of leading others to Christ, like the blessing of being saved yourself. And you can have that blessing over and over and over again. I hope that will be your blessing, to be a soul winner for Him. So the Word of God told Joshua here that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And when you hide God's Word in your mouth, you'll be equipped to be a soul winner, a witness for Him. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. My, if that were true of us, how it would control our thinking. So often we have the wrong thoughts. Sometimes thoughts that are displeasing to God. Here's how to control your thinking: to meditate on the Word of God day and night. And it'll affect your life. It'll affect your feet. It'll affect your hands. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You'll never be a failure when you do that. To meditate on God's Word. Hide it in your heart. Live according to it. Your life will be prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Yes, as I mentioned already, there are a lot of successes in life that are really not successes, because they end up in problems, in excesses, in failure. People who are financial successes often fall into temptations. The love of money is the root of all evil. Of all evil. Lust and everything that goes along with it, connected with the love of money. But when your mind and when your life and when your actions are controlled by the Word of God, your way will be prosperous and you'll know good success. So God promised that to Joshua. And His promises are yea and amen forever. Now, the book of Joshua is more than a continuation of Israel's history, but it's a definitive record of how God brought them into the promised land, the land of Canaan, that He had promised to them. And it sets before us a new beginning. A new era for Israel. And here we are told of Israel's going in and taking over and settling down in that promised land. And it ends with Joshua's farewell address. Now, with the opening of chapter 1 of this book of Joshua, we find out that by that time Joshua was 80 years old. 80 years old when he began something new, going into the promised land. I'm sure when most of us are 80, we're not ready to start a new adventure. We're thinking of settling down, hitting the rocking chair. But here was a man of 80, and he was looking forward to going in to that promised land, going in, taking over, settling down, enjoying what God had promised to him and to his people. Let's think of that spiritually. No matter how old you are, you know God has something new for you. God has some new ground to cover, to take over spiritually. But it's going to call for a taking over, because there's the enemy that lies ahead, the world, the flesh, and the devil. What a wicked triad, the world, the flesh, and the devil. As someone has put it, the world is the external enemy. The flesh is the internal enemy. And the devil is the infernal enemy. A threefold enemy against us to keep us from going in and taking over. But God is greater. And he's able to give us the victory and to go in and possess it. But here's the secret of that success in verse 8. This book, it's all linked up to this book for going in and taking over what God has for you. And I close with, again, drawing your attention to this book. It shall not depart out of thy mouth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the word of God would control our mouth? We'd never say the wrong word. We'd never say a bad word. Would always be praising and thanking God. What a difference it would make in our worship service if the Holy Spirit had control of our mouths. There'd never be a dull moment. There'd never be those long silences, brethren, in a worship meeting when the Lord is controlling your mouth. Yes, there would be an anxiety, an anxiousness, brethren, to get up and to say a word and to pray and to lead in worship. This book shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, ruminate, chew the cud, as it were. Bring it up. Squeeze it. Bring out the best from it. Therein, day and night. For good reason. That thou mayest observe to do. To do it. To live it. To act it out. According to all that is written. Not just part of it. Not just your favorite portions. Well, I'll select this, but I don't know about the other. All that is written, and the result will be good success. May the Lord bless us to that end, so that our life will be a good success for him. Let us pray. Blessed God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. What a treasure. What a storehouse. What a source of comfort and strength and enlightenment and direction for our life. Help us to hide thy word in our hearts, to meditate on it, to live it out. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.